Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.
Great to be back.
Today, we're going to explore a really specific group, the Alevis, living in Syria's Afrin region, but focusing on the time before things drastically changed around 2010.
Right, sort of setting the scene pre-conflict.
Exactly. We've pulled together quite a bit, historical stuff, demographics, regional reports. The idea is to give you, the listener, a solid understanding of this distinct ethno-religious group in that specific time and place.
And it's really important right off the bat to be clear about the difference between Afrin's Alevis and Syria's Alawite community.
Oh, absolutely. That confusion comes up a lot.
It does. Both groups revere Ali, sure, but that's where the similarity often ends. We're talking different origins, different beliefs, different histories. Afrin's Alevis mostly link back to Anatolian Alevism, Turkish and Kurdish roots.
Whereas the Alawites have a different background altogether.
Precisely. Different ethnic makeup, different theological framework. Yeah. So keeping them distinct is key here.
Okay, good point established. So let's get into it. How did this Alevi community end up in Afrin? What's the story there?
Well, first, understanding Afrin itself, or Afrin, you know, in Kurdish, is useful. It's that predominantly Kurdish area, historically called Kurd-Dagh, up in Syria's northwest corner, right by Turkey.
Known for its fertile land, the Alevis.
Exactly. And before 2011, it was relatively stable, part of the Aleppo government, very connected to Aleppo City.
Yeah.
Now, how the Alevi settled there, the sources give us, well, two main narratives, really.
Okay.
One suggests migration starting maybe after the 1850s, people coming from places like Malatya, Marash, Elbistan, and Anatolia.
Anatolia, so modern-day Turkey.
Right. The Izzedinli tribe is mentioned sometimes in connection with this wave, maybe moving towards a more settled agricultural life.
Hmm. Interesting. So possibly driven by economics or land opportunities?
Could be. It suggests perhaps a more gradual settlement over time for some families.
But there's another major story, a much darker one.
Yes. The second narrative points to Kurdish Alevis fleeing the Dersim massacre in Turkey.
That was 1937-1938, a horrific event.
Truly awful. And according to this account, many refugees settled specifically in the Mabatli sub-district of Afrin.
And isn't there some tangible connection? Like Dr. Nuri Dersimi.
Exactly. He was a prominent Alevi Kurdish intellectual, survived the massacres, though lost family. He actually lived and worked in Aleppo for a while as a vet, and he's buried near Afrin. His presence is seen as, well, pretty strong evidence for that Dersim connection.
Wow. So you have these potentially quite different reasons for arrival, gradual settlement versus fleeing intense persecution.
It seems very plausible that both could be true, you know, representing different waves, different motivations, maybe earlier economic migration, then a later influx driven by sheer survival.
It makes sense. But you mentioned a complication.
Yeah. There's one source that actually claims no Alevis in Afrin came from Dersim, which, well, it just shows how history gets remembered and told in different ways. Oral tradition, community narratives, they can diverge.
So maybe different families have different origin stories within the community itself.
Quite possibly.
Okay. And geographically, where were they mainly found?
The sources are pretty consistent. The Mabatli sub-district, it's about, what, 14 kilometers northwest of Afrin City. Mabatli town was the center.
Gotcha. Now, I saw a note about a village named Kuzulbash. That term rings a bell.
Yes, Kuzulbash. It's an old term for Alevis, sometimes used pejoratively, historically linked to certain Shia influence groups in Anatolia.
Right.
And reportedly, there was a village in Afrin called Kuzulbash, which the Syrian regime apparently renamed Ras El Amr, meaning redhead in Arabic. Possibly a literal translation, but stripping the specific Alevi connection.
Which fits the pattern of Arabization policies we saw elsewhere.
Exactly. Trying to erase Kurdish and, in this case, perhaps Alevi cultural markers. Another layer of pressure.
Any other clues in place names?
Well, the sources mention quite a few place names and shrines containing Dede or Baba.
Which are Alevi terms for spiritual leaders or revered figures.
Correct. So finding those names suggests a historical Alevi presence, maybe even in areas where people later converted or moved away. It hints at a potentially broader footprint historically.
Okay, let's talk numbers. Always difficult pre-war, but what estimates do we have?
Yeah, precise figures are tough. But for the Mabatli sub-district, around 2011, the estimate was maybe 12,000 people total, most of them likely Alevi.
Okay.
The official 2004 Syrian census gave a figure of 11,741 for the whole sub-district. For Mabatli town, the census number was smaller, just under 2,000. One source suggests maybe half Alevi, half Sunni in the town itself. So some variation, but clearly a strong Alevi concentration in that sub-district.
And compared to the whole Afrin region, what was the percentage?
The whole Afrin district had over 170,000 people in that 2004 census. An estimate from 2014, so slightly after our cutoff, but probably indicative, put the Alavre population at around 4% of the Afrin canton.
So definitely minority within the larger Kurdish population there.
Yes, a minority within a minority region in the Syrian context.
And how did that Kurdish identity fit with their Alevi faith?
That's really central. They strongly identified as Kurds. They spoke Kurmanji, just like the Sunni Kurdish majority in Afrin.
So language was a big unifier.
Absolutely. That shared language and ethnicity created a strong bond. Remember, Afrin was Syria's most densely Kurdish region before the conflict. This dual identity, Kurdish and Alevi, must have really shaped their social world.
What about other social structures, like tribes? Were they important in Afrin?
Interestingly, no, not so much. The sources suggest tribal identities had weakened considerably in the Kurd-Da area, particularly since the French mandate.
Unlike some other Kurdish areas.
Right. So instead of tribe, things like shared Kurdishness, the language, where you lived locally, and of course their distinct Alevi identity, were probably the main markers of belonging. A more localized, less tribal feel, perhaps.
And we mentioned the connection to Aleppo earlier.
Very important. Economically, Afrin's olive oil and other produce went to Aleppo. Socially, many people from Afrin, Kurds included, moved to Aleppo for work or study,
forming communities in places like Ashrafiya, Sheikh Massoud.
Exactly. We don't have specific numbers on Alevi migration to Aleppo, but they were definitely part of that regional flow. Communities aren't isolated. They're tied into these larger urban networks.
Okay, so we have this picture emerging. A geographically concentrated community, sharing Kurdish language and ethnicity, but with a distinct Anatolian Alevi religious identity. Let's delve into that religious side more.
Yes, and again, the distinction from Sunnism and Syrian Alawism is key. Their Anatolian Alevi roots mean it's a heterodox tradition, syncretic, you know, blending element.
So related to Shiism, but with significant differences.
Right. They often identified culturally as Muslim, but many also sought recognition for Alawism as its own path.
And Ali is central for them, too.
Deep reverence for Ali, yes. But crucially, they generally rejected Islamic Sharia law. Conventional Islamic rituals, dietary rules, specific sanitary practices, those weren't typically part of their religious life.
That's a major divergence. And you mentioned gender equality earlier.
Yes, that's a core Alevi principle. Men and women generally worship together in communal settings. You don't traditionally see the requirement for women's headscarves in religious contexts like you might elsewhere. A significant cultural marker.
What about the Sim ceremony? That's usually central to Alevi practice.
It is. But here's a critical point from the sources. The Semenem reportedly stopped being practiced in Mabatli around 1978.
Wow, 1978. That's decades before 2010.
Yeah, roughly 40 years before 2018, one source calculates. A long-term cessation.
Why? What happened?
Well, several possible reasons are suggested. A big one seems to be the difficulty for the traditional Alevi spiritual leaders, the denes or peers, to travel from Turkey.
Because of Syria-Turkey political tensions.
Likely, yes. Those visits were vital for transmitting knowledge, leading rituals, maintaining the lineage connections. Without them,
things fade.
Exactly. Plus, you might have assimilation pressures, maybe state interference, possibly just a decline in internal religious knowledge over time without that regular input.
But they didn't lose all connection to the broader Alevi world.
No, not at all. They maintain links to the OKAK system, those Alevi spiritual lineages based in Turkey. There's evidence of ties to the Hazarian OKAK, including past visits from their peer, and also the Yamur Dede OKAK.
So those transnational religious networks persisted, even if the main ceremony wasn't happening locally.
It seems so, which is quite resilient, really.
So if the ceremony wasn't happening regularly, what did religious life revolve around?
Local shrines became really important, especially Yamur Dede and Berberoy in the Mabatli area.
Yamur Dede Rainfather.
Right. Visited on Fridays, people would pray, often for rain, share sacrificial food, the Lokma. Other shrines are mentioned too across Afrin. Aslan Dede, Alida, Mariam Dede, Sultan Berbash, Sheikh Hamo, Sheikh Mam.
Lots of Dede games again.
Yeah, reinforcing that connection to the Alevi tradition and its figures. These shrines likely became the main focal points for communal religious expression.
Alevism has a rich oral tradition, but also written texts, right? Like Kunks and Bayruks in Turkey. Mm-hmm. Was that present in Afrin?
That's a good question. The sources don't detail the extent of written culture in pre-2010 Afrin, but given the connection to the Okak system, where Dayd families often preserve these manuscripts, it's plausible there was some link, some knowledge of them, even if not widespread use.
Okay. Can we just quickly recap those key differences with Syrian Alawites again, just to hammer it home?
Sure, it's worth it. Ethnicity. Afrin Alevis, primarily Kurdish, Alawites mainly Arab. Language. Alevi worship influenced by Turkish daily life Kurmanji. Alawites use Arabic. Location. Alevis concentrated in Afrin Mabatli. Alawites historically coastal mountains. Theology. Alevis revere Ali, but not typically as divine. Alawites see Ali as a divine manifestation. Rituals. Shem for Alevis. Distinct esoteric rites for Alawites. Women's role. More egalitarian in Alevi worship. Quran. Different interpretations and views on literalness. Origins. Anatolian Sufi roots for Alevis, 9th century Iraqi founder Syrian development for Alawites.
Okay, crystal clear. Very different groups.
Night and day, really, despite the similar sounding names. It really shows you need to look beneath the surface labels.
Definitely. Now, turning to their everyday lives in pre-war Syria, politics, the economy, how did they fit in?
Well, they were part of Afrin's life. Integrated, we see early political involvement, like Muhammad Ali Khoja founding a Kurdish party way back, though that's pre-Belef.
And economically.
Very much involved in the agricultural economy, those olives again, and the trade links with Aleppo we talked about. People had professions, too. Think of Dr. Nuria Dersimi working as a vet.
But being Kurdish in Ba'athi Syria wasn't easy. They faced challenges.
Oh, absolutely. Systemic discrimination was the reality for Kurds across Syria. Suppression of language, culture, restrictions on property ownership deeds, building permits especially tough in border areas like Afrin.
Even if the mass denaturalization campaigns hit harder elsewhere, like Jazeera.
Right. The ideology was nationwide Arab nationalism. And Afrin specifically faced Arabization policies, like that alleged renaming of the Kizilbash village. Plus, key jobs admin. Security often went to non-Kurds loyal to the party.
So they felt that pressure primarily as Kurds. Was there pressure specifically targeting their Alevi identity too?
Yes, potentially. There are those reports suggesting that once the ties with Turkish religious leaders were cut, the Syrian state actually tried to sort of nudge them towards the Alawite sphere.
Try to co-opt them or change their orientation?
Perhaps. Maybe an attempt to manage or neutralize their distinct identity, bring them closer to a group seen as more aligned with the state structure, given the Alawite dominance. It really makes you wonder how the community navigated that kind of subtle or maybe not so subtle pressure.
And these weren't entirely new pressures either, were they? There's older history.
True. Discrimination under the Ottomans, maybe lingering memories of things like the 16th century Aleppo massacre involving Kizilbash groups. And even locally, there was that documented attack on Mabatli back in 1920.
An armed attack? By who?
By people from neighboring villages, apparently fueled by religious sneers. So local tensions predating the Ba'ath era existed too.
So it's this really complex picture. They're facing the systemic discrimination all Kurds faced.
Right.
But also navigating these specific historical dynamics and local tensions linked to their Alevi faith.
Exactly. A minority within a minority region dealing with multiple layers of identity and pressure.
Oh. Hannah the Chai Lady's here. Oh. Reish Bosch, Anna.
Reish Bosch. Ah, perfect timing.
Oh, this smells wonderful today. Let's see. Yeah, that's good. Nice and warm. Hint of spice. Not bitter at all today, which is great. Maybe. Maybe just a tiny bit more sugar for me, but yeah. Really, really nice. Thanks, Anna.
Agreed. Lovely. A welcome pause. Cheers.
Cheers. All right. Chai enjoyed. Batteries recharged. Let's kind of wrap this up. Thinking about Afrin's Alevi community just before 2010, on the brink of the huge changes coming with the Syrian conflict, what's the takeaway picture?
I think it's a picture of a unique, long-established community. Culturally distinct, yes, but firmly rooted within the predominantly Kurdish landscape of Afrin, especially concentrated in Mabatli.
With that complex migration history, Anatolia Dersim refugees.
Right. And holding on to a strong Kurdish identity, speaking Kurmanji alongside their Sunni neighbors. That's crucial.
But religiously distinct, rooted in Anatolian Alevism.
Absolutely. The reverence for Ali, the rejection of Sharia, the gender equality, those connections back to the Turkish Okaks, all setting them apart from Sunnis and, importantly, from Syrian Alawites.
Even with the main Sem ceremony having faded decades earlier.
Yes, the local shrines took on that central importance instead.
And navigating life in pre-war Syria meant being part of the local economy.
While facing that systemic Ba'athist discrimination as Kurds, plus those other historical and local pressures tied specifically to being a Levi.
So here's something to leave you, our listener, thinking about. Consider this. How might that long, long history of navigating these multiple layers, being Kurdish, being a Levi, dealing with state pressure, local tensions, having roots across the border in Anatolia, how might all that have shaped their resilience, their strategies, and their experiences when the Syrian civil war erupted and brought even more dramatic changes to Afrin?
Yeah, how did that specific history prepare them or challenge them for what came next? A lot to ponder there.